Good afternoon. Morning. Yes, ma'am. So we got we're going to be touching on Psalm 17 today. First, note of administration. All right. No smoking on the concrete pad on or around or near the awning here. We love what we do here, and if you guys love it and appreciate it, help us help you. We want to do this, but if they decide that it's not the way this should go, we need to. Psalm 17. Yes, sir. We want to help you guys, so please remember, no smoking on the pad here. The designated smoking section is over here by the porta potty. Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer that it is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night, and you have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men. By the word of your lips I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footstep may not slip. I have called upon you for your will. Hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you. From those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth, like a lion that is eager to tear his prey, as a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you will fill with hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their substance for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I like the New King James Version sometimes. Sometimes it gets flowery. They had a hurdle that they had to overcome in that time period, and it either met the nature of the language or it didn't. So, this is a young David. David steps to the paper here, and he starts writing down his feelings. And you know it's a young David because only the young can talk like this. He's surrounded by his enemies. And most people believe this was early in his kingship. So he says a lot of things here that aren't yet burdened with that knowledge of where sin comes from, what's actually in a man's heart. The truth actually gets lost sometimes. Life doesn't exactly plan things out the way you would have them be. It pours it on your shoulders and just kind of surprises you. Sometimes the enemy surrounds you and you can't actually come to grips with it other than by falling back on the dogma that you learned as a child. So in the last psalm we talked about God, and it was about where you put God in your life. You put him high and you put him above all the other things, and by that the surrounding people know that you're talking about God and to God and getting from God. But now in this verse he's talked of God and he's already there. He's put God in that high place in his heart. And what do you do at that point? How do you move forward? Well, a young David doesn't acknowledge at this point the good. He just assumes he's good. And I'm not finding fault with that. But this verse does speak to a real thing that goes on in society today, and that's the difference between good and innocent. David had actively participated in putting God in that high place, and so he had purged all of the bad things out of his life, at least to the best of his ability. So when he goes down the list of things that are good there, he can only go back to God. He acknowledges that there's you're not going to find anything bad there. Like only the young can. I mean, clearly he hasn't been there yet. He hasn't done all the bad things. So, you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night, and you have tried me and found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, though, he starts categorizing the things that bad men do, the difference between good and bad. And he says that they're going to, that he's going to hold his, keep himself from the paths of the destroyer. He's going to uphold the steps in God's path so that the footsteps would not slip. And then at the end of it, he says, incline your ear, come closer. I want you to listen to this. It's this close relationship. He speaks to God. And he says that they have closed up their fat hearts and that their mouths speak proudly and that they're surrounding us in their footsteps. I want you to notice here that this is an active process of things around you chaotically coming after you. But I also want you to note that this isn't abnormal. This is the standard. This is normal. This isn't special. David isn't unique here. In fact, he's so common, it's unreal at how he can speak this way about how he can't possibly find sin in this man's life when we know that it's true. There's sin everywhere. There's sin in your heart, and it's a constant battle. I'm raising children, and they don't come out good. They're born into this world self-centered. They want, they take, and that's all they want is to take. They're worried about themselves, and it's not until after thousands of say thank you, say yes, sir, upon thousands, that somehow you come up with a person who's useful to the people around them, that's useful to society and considers someone other than themselves. That's not easy. It doesn't happen automatically. It's a process. So when David says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. Again, like the young, he's not considering anything else. I truly believe he's talking about life. This is just a living declaration. But he does acknowledge that answer isn't going to be necessarily what he expects. It's going to be the likeness of God. And God translates good into something that the human heart can't always perceive. Even if David is perfect, he is not going to be able to see it because he is living. That law, that reality, that truth that is God, the way, it's going to be there whether David chooses to acknowledge it or not. It's going to be good, and the chaos will be there. The truth is, though, how you respond to that chaos. And David responded by acknowledging God's presence, acknowledging the wisdom. And if you don't acknowledge the wisdom of God, if you don't have an objective truth, it's not going to work well for you. You don't have a stabilizing place. There's not one message, not one single message that stands up to that. You can't move forward if you're not prepared to acknowledge the nature of God. If you don't put God in that high place. Once God is there, you can then begin to open your heart. You can then begin to choose to take refuge. When David said to God that I want to be the apple of your eye, protect me in that way. The pupil of your eye, the all-seeing eye of God, protect it the way anyone would. You don't want anybody getting in your face. My daughter reached up and just wanted to pull my eyeball out of my head. It's perfectly normal. She's 2 years old. She just wants and touches, and of course I respond. You're not touching that eye. It's that simple. Protect me like that. You're not going to touch it. It's that simple. You can then seek God after you've humbled yourself, after you've put God in that high place, after you have acknowledged that it's not about you, that you're here for more than you, that you're here for the people around you, that you have to in some way seek to be useful to those around you. Once you get there, you can acknowledge God, and you can honestly expect protection. You can genuinely expect results out of that. And once you move past that point, once you choose that I'm not going to follow that, it's all over. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It takes practice being bad. It's easy because it's all shiny things. You're chasing the shiny things. I've done it. I'm 47 years old, and I'm still having to keep an eye on it. I wanted to do it so bad I could taste it. It was fantastic until I realized what I was doing. Then I realized that I was shutting off all those strings that attached me to everything else. Just clipped them like there was nothing, like the young, like only the young can do, like you're going to live forever. As for me, when I awake, I will be satisfied with your likeness. That's a good idea, to be satisfied with his likeness, to know the nature of God and to acknowledge it. But we all know the when I awake part, maybe not. So he has to at least somewhere in there acknowledge the idea that even for the dead, you can only hope to come close to what God is. Only hope to commune with God. So you have to keep your eyes open and you have to be honest with yourself. And all of this started with him not being deceitful, keeping his words pure, keeping his heart clean. Even when he sleeps, his heart guides him because he's put God first. Once their heart is guiding you, and you can count on your heart to lead you almost like autopilot, it's not easy, but once you get there, then you can hope to ask God for things and it be real and it be genuine. This is none of this is taking away from the grace that is God, grace everlasting. The high places in your heart, once you give that to him, God can work. And it's that simple. Dear God, thank you for this word today. Please let it work on people. Please let your will be done here, and please let your words speak through me. Don't let this mere flesh get in the way of the things that you want to see, the things that you want to do, the purpose that you have for these people. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.